Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to the show and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner, where we challenge limits, push for greatness, and develop athletes who thrive on and off the field. This show is built around the same principles that drive our program every day: discipline, self-belief, and relentless preparation. Each week, we bring you real conversations from inside the journey, the ups, the setbacks, and what it actually takes to grow. Today, we've got one of our own, Christian Douglas, out of Columbus, Ohio, the great state of Ohio. He's a 6'4" sophomore right-handed pitcher for the Stars. He's logged 42 innings across 21 appearances. He's sitting at a perfect 7-0 on his career, with 30 strikeouts to just 8 walks. Precision. But those numbers don't tell the full story. Today, we're going to get into where it started, who shaped him, what he's had to work through, and what growth actually looks like inside this program. Let's get into it. Welcome to the WLNZ Studios CD.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. It's really exciting. I've always wanted to be on a podcast.
First one, right?
Yeah, first one.
All right, let's pop the cork. When did it all start for you growing up with sports in Ohio?
I guess I just like always grew up playing baseball, like as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
The first team that I can remember is I went to preschool at the YMCA by my house, and we had a t-ball team.
Okay.
And a soccer team, and I was playing t-ball and soccer.
All right. So you weren't pitching at that point, you were just hitting?
No, yeah, just hitting.
And you're quite the profound hitter, I've been told.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. All right. So at a young age, you started. You were playing baseball, obviously, and soccer. Did you enjoy soccer? I mean, there's a lot of running there, right?
Yeah. And as you know, I don't really enjoy running that much. So soccer didn't last too long because I loved baseball way more. So when I was around 8 or 9 and we got into kid pitch and the fall ball existed, it's like, well, I'm going to play baseball more and, you know, see a soccer. And we'll just keep playing baseball because that's what I loved a lot more.
What else did you do before like baseball got serious?
I played hockey from like 4th grade up to my freshman year of high school.
Yeah. Who introduced you to the game of baseball?
My dad.
Okay. What kind of made you stick with it, do you think? Was it because you were pretty decent at it, or was there something more?
Yeah, I guess I was part of it. I was definitely better at baseball than like hockey or soccer. But I don't know. I just like always like really loved the game. Like, we would always go to Columbus Clippers games, which is the AAA team in Columbus, and go to Cleveland Indians or Guardians games, try and get there at least once a year when I was younger. And then as I got older, I got to go a little more often, went to some playoff games as I got older.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just always been my passion.
What's your home environment look like?
Grew up with mom and dad and two sisters, one older, one younger. And
so you were the middle child.
I was the middle child. Yeah, but we're both close in age. My older sister's 2 years older than me. My younger sister's just like a grade below me.
Were there some standards that were set for you guys?
Standards. Yeah, I guess so. Like I can remember one standard like vividly. There was one morning like elementary school where my dad woke me up and like I didn't want to go to school. And I was like trying to go. And he's like, well, you got to go to school because it's your job. Like school is your job. And I'm going to go to my job after this. So I guess that was standard. Like we weren't like just like taking days off just because didn't feel like it.
When did you realize you might have something special with baseball, like the relationship?
Well, growing up, I always thought I was going to be MLB catcher for the first like 12 years of my life.
Was there somebody that you emulated?
Yadier Molina. I was a big Yadier Molina fan, and I liked Yan Gomes too because he was with Cleveland. And So yeah, growing up, I always thought that was going to be like my career for a while. And then as I got older, I stopped kind of catching and I was kind of playing all over the place. And, but I say around like 14 is when I was like this, I want to see how long I can play and try and play in college and stuff.
So shifting just a tiny little bit, were you a big fan of the movie Major League?
I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was younger, but when I did watch it, yeah.
Because that was based in like Cleveland, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was about the Cleveland Indians. But yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was younger, but once I did see it, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. What failure looked like for you as a kid?
Around when I was like 12, 13, I went through some struggles hitting and like the mental side of the game as like, you know, the game progressed and got harder. And I kind of like was maybe like pressing a little too much. And then around that time when I was maybe like going into my freshman year of high school, that's when I started pitching and I was like, oh, this is so much easier. Because I never really threw hard growing up, so they never put me on the mound, but except in like blowouts. But yeah, I was like, oh, this is way easier. I just got to like, you know, train more for it. But yeah, pitching is always a lot easier for hitting once I like transition to that.
Were you naturally confident as a kid or did that come later for you?
I think I was naturally confident with like the caveat of like there's always like this like a little piece inside me was like, oh, this could go badly, but we're just going to ignore that part of it. And I think I still have that today. Like I always say, like when I'm on the mound, if I'm not like just a little bit scared of the other team, like I don't do as well because I'm just like too relaxed and not like if I'm not like nervous, I'm not like ready to go.
Yeah.
There has to be like a little bit in there. But yeah, I was never like, oh, this is just going to go terribly. I'm going to strike, like convinced of it. There's always like a little bit in there.
Right. It's an important piece to have. Who were the people that were kind of the biggest impact on you early on?
Well, my dad was my baseball coach from like 9U to like 16. And so obviously like he had a massive impact on me. There was a couple other people, some assistant coaches that I had that were also dads on the team and they were great. And the guy who ran my hockey organization, actually, John Haferman, he's an amazing person and he had a big impact on me. Like I was in eighth grade, he would pick me and another teammate up and like get us pizza for dinner. And it's like, take us to the rink where we would have like, they'd have like goalie practice at like 5, but we wouldn't practice until like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he definitely had a big impact on me. Like in the organization there, they had like John talks when he would like come into the locker room and get serious with you. But he does a great thing for that. And the way my hockey organization ran was like, you could go to an equipment bank and he'll give you equipment for free.
Sweet.
Because their whole thing was hockey is for everyone and trying to get people to play. And I probably wouldn't have been able to play without that. But you just turn it in at the end of the season or when you're done playing or when you need new equipment. And it was all set. So he also had a positive impact on me.
Nice. Did you ever think back now and ignore advice from some of those people that you had to learn the hard way?
That's a tough one. I'm sure I did probably at some point.
It's pretty natural usually. You kind of learn the lessons down the road and think back and maybe I should have listened when they told me I should have worked a little bit harder or done this or done that. Because in our program, we say like everything affects everything and you don't really realize the finite amount of time that you actually have to play a sport. And it seems like you have forever when you're a little kid and you can go out there and throw the ball around or hit the ball or, you know, whatever. It seems like you have all this time. And then you get into high school, which is what we're going to transition into next. And very few kids go on to play after high school. So they have 4 seasons and their freshman year, they're typically trying to, you know, make themselves known and pretty soon, snap of fingers, they're seniors and they're hanging up the cleats. So what high school did you go to?
I went to Whetstone High School.
Okay. And what was your high school experience like with sports?
Well, my freshman year was kind of COVID year online. So that was a little different, but freshman year I also played hockey too. And that kind of got ruined by COVID. And that was my last year playing hockey. And after that, it was just baseball from there on out.
Was it you stopped playing hockey because of the COVID experience or because of baseball and hockey interfering?
Kind of a mix of both. I would like look back now at like some of the stuff I would do and I'm like, I would go like from baseball to hockey, like right back to baseball. I'm like, I can't believe I was ever doing that. But part of it was I kind of like lost a little bit of love for hockey because of the experience. We had a lot of games canceled, and you like couldn't go into the arena until like 15 minutes before the game. I remember we were out there in the snow, like doing a warm up off ice, and I mean it was still fun, but it wasn't like the same as I had always known it. And part of it was I just like really wanted to focus on baseball, and I was like, I want to play this in college, and you know, give it my all.
So as your freshman year, you decide to specialize in baseball. Do you think specialization, I mean, that's a pretty normal thing at this point, as much as people like to talk about the value of multi-sport athletes, and I certainly believe that as well. But specialization is there, and it's probably not going anywhere. Do you think the specialization at early ages helps or hurts?
At early ages, I think it hurts for sure. As you get older, I think it just depends on how much fun you're having with the sport individually. And like, for me, it's kind of like a trade-off. It's like, I'm not having enough fun to the point where I should, like, baseball is more fun. I'd rather go do baseball training than go to, you know, hockey practice. So it was kind of a mix of things. But I think when you're younger, you should absolutely play multiple sports. I think it definitely helps. But when you get older, it kind of depends.
The great state of Ohio is known for what? Championships, right?
Championships, college football.
Okay. And so let's, your high school team, they won a lot of championships for baseball?
Well, not for states.
Okay.
We would play in a city championship that we won every year but my senior year.
Let them down, eh?
We did. We had a 12-year streak running of winning the city championship.
Were you on the mound?
Well, we didn't get to the championship game, but yes, I was on the mound when we lost to our rivals who then went on to win it. But luckily, our team won last year, so we were starting another streak, hopefully. But yeah, we would always play. You had to have a North and a South division in Columbus City Schools, and there was like seven teams in each division, and you played everyone twice, and the top two would play on. But no, we never went very far in playoffs for states. My freshman year, we played the eventual state champions in the second round. And I remember my junior, we played like the number two team in the state in the second round. So like we always had tough matchups. We always had a really solid record because of the conference we'd play in, but we would compete pretty well outside of conference, which no one else in our conference was doing. They wouldn't even like really play those games. So yeah, we had some championships. We had a lot of success. We always had a really solid record.
And at some point you knew you wanted to play in college.
Yeah.
Was that your freshman year?
Yeah, right around then.
Did you ever start questioning whether it was worth it through those four seasons?
No.
So never a moment of doubt.
Not in high school.
Nice. What was your recruiting like?
I didn't get very many looks. I was getting mostly like D3 schools in Ohio and some NAIAs and JUCOs in Ohio. And then around like February or March of my senior year, I was just like, I don't even know how I stumbled across Lansing on like social media or something like that. And then I like looked more into the program and I was like, this looks pretty sweet. And it's a junior college, so then I reached out to Coach Mo, and that's how I ended up here.
Did you have any bad habits you had to break to get to where you are now? Because you've been an extremely successful pitcher here with numbers that support it. It's not just words. Did you have to break some habits to get to where you are now?
Yeah, there's definitely, like, in terms of eating, I'd eat, like, a lot of sugar and stuff, and sleep has been a thing I've been working on. And most recently has been, like, my phone time. Like, I got a pretty high screen time that I've been trying to work on, but like it's a struggle. So those are some bad habits I've had to break.
How do you become aware of that kind of stuff?
I think, well,
like screen time and sleep time.
For screen time and sleep time, it is the readiness test, because before that you're not really looking at it, that we do each morning. But yeah, before then I wouldn't really like even think of it, but ever since you started doing it, like you said one time, I think in the winter, like, oh, the screen time's going down this much just by like being aware of it. And the sleep time, also just like being aware of how much you're sleeping.
So why Lansing? What made you choose this place?
Well, I wasn't really satisfied with any of my other offers. And my goal out of high school was to play as long as I can and at the highest level I can. And this was easily the best school that offered me in terms of winning and how great the program actually is. And I remember after my visit, I was driving back to Columbus, and my dad told me, he's like, you know, I don't want to like make any decisions for you, but you'd be pretty stupid to not go here. So then that like, and
that was impactful, right?
Yeah. And I mean, by that point, my senior year was starting, so I needed to make a choice pretty soon also. And it was like, it just ended up being pretty clear.
Yeah, he caught me at the end of a game not too long ago and thanked me, and it was really genuine. And, you know, that stuff goes a long way. Was there any expectations for yourself when you were coming in here as a, you know, as a freshman?
No, not really. I kind of had a thing where coming in here, I was like convinced I was going to be the worst player on the team. And I was like, I was really nervous. I was homesick. I was so nervous. Do you remember we played Mid-Michigan the first game in the fall of my freshman year? And we hadn't built those mounds inside yet. And I was thrown on the mound and I threw one into the dugout and hit Matt Fountain. And like, I was just so nervous, but the game ended up going all right for me.
Matt recovered. So
yeah, Matt recovered. He got a mid-mish player back. But I don't even know how I was throwing strikes on the mound, 'cause I'd never been that nervous in my life. And I was like, every practice I was like scared to go, but I was like, I just need to like keep proving myself that I deserve to be here and that I'm meant to be here and stuff. But yeah, it was definitely kind of rough. I didn't have really any expectations of me.
You mentioned being a little homesick, and you know, besides that, was there anything else that hit you right away when you got to Lansing and started classes and practicing and, you know, the expectations and the standards and all of that? Were there things that hit you?
Yeah, definitely the standards from like other players and like the effort level. It was like an environment that I hadn't been in before in travel ball or in high school. And I was like, this is serious. Guys here are trying to win. And it's like, I'd never been part of a team where it's like, yeah, we're trying to win a national championship. And I was like, that like hit me. I was like, oh, like that's like the highest level possible. 'Cause like in high school, we weren't like, yeah, we think we could play against anybody, but we're not like necessarily like every year. It's like, this is our year to win a state championship. We're like, we could make some noise in the playoffs, but it wasn't like that. So that hit me. And like, I mean, guys showing up like 2 hours early for practice in the fall, and like some of the sophomores and third years, they're like, yeah, this is serious. Yeah, I've been to the College World Series before. Like, I remember playing in that. Like, that was kind of like really serious for me.
Yeah, I like to believe and think of it in this way. When you think of two words like pressure and expectations, I believe that those things are, pressure and expectations are great things. And I just told a couple of players this, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and you want to have pressure and expectations. If you don't have pressure and expectations in something you're doing, then what's the point of even mm-hmm. doing it? Yeah. It's one of those things you want to be able to lean into, make it worth it. What's changed in your routine from the time you've got here to being a sophomore now?
I guess like the intent level at practice, like when I'm getting there early, like there's like an intention behind it, like working on mobility, and not just that, but like getting stuff out and being more aware of like what's going on in the program. Like most days I'm writing the job sheet, you know, for game day, and like mm-hmm. who's on velo or chase charts and stuff. So I guess like being more aware of stuff. And like I realized this year, like how like little I was doing last year, where I'm like, where does this go? What's the tech bag even? I'm like, I was just like really unaware of stuff.
Right. You know, you spoke about the uncertainty, the lack of confidence when you came in. You're a relief pitcher here who can start, and you've had some starts, but you're 7-0 with 30 strikeouts and only 8 walks and 42 innings pitched. What's the biggest reason for that jump from the kid that was unsure of himself and throwing balls and taking out Matt Fountain to these numbers now?
Well, command has always been like my biggest strength on the mound. Like that's always come pretty naturally to me, is throwing strikes. But in terms of like confidence, like there's never like, I had my doubts for sure in the fall, but I was still like pretty sure. I was like, yeah, I'm going to still play this year. I'm still going to like contribute to the team. I'm not just going to come in here and like do nothing and provide nothing. But yeah, I think in the game, like it's like a different level of confidence you have to have. Like you kind of have to like flip a switch and like get some adrenaline going. But yeah, there was never like any like, oh, I'm just like going to get cut, or like this is going to go really badly for me. But I definitely have my doubts, but there is still like confidence in there that I'm going to contribute once the spring comes. It's just going to take a while for me to get there, because I think in my point of view, I started behind like pretty much everybody else.
Because?
I think just my skill level. I came in as a pitcher, like topping like 84 miles an hour. And I'm like sitting here, and he's like, you know, I got like Christian Arquette talking to me. He's like, yeah, last fall we had 13 guys touch 90 miles an hour. It's like, well, I'm not touching 90 miles an hour. But I was like, I was like, I can still contribute, because I was like, my, you know, mid-80s is going to, like, with my control and stuff, is better than guys who are throwing 90 and not going to be near the zone. So there was still, like, a confidence in me that I was still going to come out here and play.
What's something we do here that a player outside of our program just, or somebody else, just wouldn't understand? Anything come to mind?
Something came to mind yesterday. This happened yesterday at Alpena. One of the Alpena, like, parents or grandparents came up to me and Gavin Wojcicki, and he was like, "Why is uncommon on the back of your jerseys? What does that mean?" And we're like, "Well, it's like our core values and our team motto. Like, we're trying to be uncommon with everything that we do, so we put on our jerseys." And he was just kind of like a little befuddled by that. But yeah, that's a great example right there of that.
I love that. If a high school pitcher asked what makes this place different, what would you tell him?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think, like I said earlier, the environment that you're in, I absolutely love, like, the pitcher's culture that we have. And, like, we have a lot of fun at practice, and we're really intentional. So I'd say, like, the environment, but also, like, the developmental piece and the statistics that we use. Like, I don't think very many other JUCOs are using chase charts and whiff charts and breaking down, like, the stuff that we have on the sheets and, like, the technology that we have. So it makes, like, the culture and the stats and the technology is what makes it different.
Yeah, it's the pitcher's environment is a very unique one for sure. But it's a fun one. We've seen a lot of things affect a lot of things. And we had an explosive October that seems like many moons ago at this point. And whether it's causation or correlation, our average fastball velo is up now 2.4 miles an hour. And we've been extremely healthy this season, which was not the case, you know, last season. So there's been a lot of things that fed into it. And sometimes it is simple. It's not maybe the structure, but it's awareness. Like like what you spoke about with just being aware of your sleep time, being aware of your nutrition with RDK, being thoughtful with how much time you're spending on your screen versus maybe doing something else that could better serve you. What's accountability look like for you inside this program?
Well, I think it starts with yourself. Like I always say, like, you got to look yourself in the mirror and, like, work on yourself first. And you're never going to be perfect, obviously. But, like, if you can recognize that you have stuff going on, then I think you can then translate that to holding your teammates accountable and, like, being okay when you mess up and someone calls you out on it. And I think that's just, like, what accountability is. It starts with yourself and then goes to your teammates.
Got a couple more for you, and we're going to get in some rapid fire. You've done incredible. You're just kind of the same way that you look on the mound. You come in tough spots usually. I call them dirty innings. You don't always have the clean innings, and you've done a great job with that. Is there a certain composure that you have when you come in and the pressure's on? Do you feel like you thrive in that environment?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And it was different than kind of like what I expected to be doing this year, but like, it, like, I kind of embraced that role pretty quickly, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Because when I'm, like, in the bullpen, they're like, something's going wrong, and you're, like, in the dugout or in the bullpen, and you got, like, Coach Al or Sloger in the pen, like, dude, you got to get moving. Like, you got to start throwing. And that's just, like, fires. I'm like, yeah, like, because, like, I don't need that many pitches to get ready just because, like, I don't think you want to throw too much and fatigue yourself out.
Absolutely.
But they're like, dude, you got to get going. Then I'm like, yeah, like, I'm ready to go. And you throw, like, five pitches off the mound, and you're like, yeah, I'm hot. Like, I'm ready to go into the game. When you come in, it's just like you got the adrenaline pumping, and it's just like, all right, like, let's go compete. I'm gonna get us out of here. And this is like, there's, it's just like,
who's someone on the team that pushes you every day?
Oliver Ruksinski, man, he's awesome. We've kind of had a similar role in the bullpen, and like, we both talk about it all the time, and we're just like, yeah, this is, we're gonna come in here and get it done. Like, if someone messes up, like, we're going to come in and we're just going to clean this up and get us a win.
This team started 2-9 to start the season, albeit we were playing legit competition and had an insane travel. I think we are 27-12 since then. What makes this team different?
That's another great question. I think I'm just going to go back to, like, the guys and the environment. And we have had our struggles for sure. I mean, like you said, 2-9 is an awful start.
Super young team, inexperienced.
Yeah, really young team. So I think, like, the guys who do have some experience have, like, been asked to, like, lean on a lot for leadership. But we've seen a lot of growth from a lot of freshmen who don't have a ton of experience from the fall to now. Some guys that you, like, this dude, like, I don't even know if he wants to be here in the fall. Mm-hmm. And now they're, like, starting, and they're, like, you see the improvement. And I think that's like what's been really different about this team is the growth from the fall to the spring.
100% right. If somebody was asking me that question, I would just say the massive growth. And I almost feel like that's the way growth looks, because it hasn't been easy. It's been frustrating at times. The growth cycle has been really slow. The curve just hasn't completely been there, but you see it, you see glimpses of it. And that's part of the reason the team has went 27-12 since that start is, you know, I told the team the other day, they're starting to figure out how to win. And that's something that's not, you know, just given to you. It's something you have to figure out. What's the next level look like for you?
After this year, not 100% certain, honestly. I think it kind of depends on the right situation. I think my mentality on that has really changed since I came in. When I came in, I was like, I want to play baseball for as long as I can and at the highest level. And I think that's kind of changed a little bit. It kind of depends on the right school and the right situation. And I'm kind of unsure of like what I want to do for a career. So it just kind of depends on the right spot for me.
Time will tell.
Yeah, for sure.
Has a way of working out. Couple of rapid fire questions for you. Best pitcher you've ever had on your team?
Gonna go with Tenyu Dominic Ratliff.
Nice.
Big lefty. And I mean, kids could just not touch him. We had like a 3-inning limit and he would just go like 3 innings, maybe a couple walks, but like no hits and like 7, 8, 9 strikeouts.
Did he end up playing college baseball?
He did not.
Oh man.
He did not, but oh, absolutely dominant.
Okay. Toughest hitter on the team.
My toughest at bat has always been Parker Vaughn. Anytime I face him in lives, he hammers me. And it's always a tough at bat with him.
One word to describe this team.
Go with resilient, because we faced a lot and overcome a lot. And we've shown a lot of resilience.
One word answer. What makes Michigan football so much better than Ohio State football?
It doesn't.
One piece of advice for an incoming star?
Take what guys are saying to you seriously. Like if a sophomore or another freshman has like something to say to you, don't like take it as an attack. And like a lot of guys, and we've seen a lot of growth from it, but a lot of guys in the fall, like if you're like, we should be, you know, come do this on field work, or you need to be putting in more effort on this. They like, a lot of guys tend to take it as an attack because maybe they haven't been told that before.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, wrong or anything, but kind of just like, you know, like I said, like look yourself in the mirror and like, am I actually like doing what I'm supposed to do instead of like just like, you know, getting mad and defensive right. and stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely been some growth on that. If someone watched you for one inning, what do you want them to say about you when you walk off the mound?
Guy had a lot of confidence and he got out of a tough situation. He was throwing a lot of strikes and he wasn't scared to face anybody.
Yeah, you're definitely fun to watch. You've shown some massive growth from that kid that got here as a freshman in the fall. And it's been really enjoyable to have you in our program. You put the stats aside. You've done a great job with leadership. You've done a great job with just trying to get better, just showing up and being intentional with your growth. I appreciate you coming on this podcast, and I appreciate everything that you've done in our program. So fist bump to you. Winning fades, habits last. Excellence is not a destination. It's who you become in the process. Lead with intent. Give more than you take. Compete with a purpose. As always, we're all playing a game we cannot win, so why not go all in and go Stars?
Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.